You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
You can support us on Patreon and join our Discord server at patreon.com/WTFolklore.
Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What the Folklore, Making Sense of Senseless Tales. I am your storyteller, Carmen.
Crime Weaver Tyler.
I'm Gordy Christopher Cole Wimbus. Thank you, Mersey. We've been on a real Wimbus kick today.
Whole new Wimbus cult.
I was shamed for forgetting the Wimbus. And rightly so.
Yeah, you should be ashamed. Yeah,
correctly.
You should breathe in of the Wimbus and know your failures.
We spend our whole lives in the Wimbus.
Yeah, it's
most
true.
Most of them. Well, I mean, you do leave the Wimbus every now and then.
You leave it, but like,
did
most
we decide
of the...
how high a dunk and or giraffe is?
No.
It is lower than a plane.
Here's the thing about science. You can't come out the gate knowing everything.
That's true. Science is about discovery.
That's the whole idea.
Like, the guy doesn't come out and say, oh, I know everything this tiny speck does. It's you come out and you're like, whoa, fuck, there's a particle down there. I think.
Maybe.
And then people
I have
spend
a theory.
And then people spend 10 years. I mean, we're still working out Einstein's theory of relativity.
Yeah.
Like, he just wrote some letters down and was like, how about this shit? Like, I don't know, 500 years later, whenever he lived.
Let's give the theory of Wimbus half a day at least.
Right. Like this.
Yeah, we still need to get a giraffe outside our apartment to measure how much of the Wimbus we're in currently.
How high can a giraffe dunk? We didn't even think of that.
Can a man dunk off a giraffe? Does that count?
It's some combination of these things is where the Wimbus ends. And we don't know quite yet. That's what testing is for. That's what the scientific method is all about.
So aside from good science, what is this podcast responsible for?
I think that's it now.
Contrary to popular belief, this is not a show about the Wimbus, much as I would like it to be.
It is a show about all sciences.
It is a show within the Wimbus, but not about the Wimbus.
Particularly the science of folklore and fairy tales. So okay. Carmen's going to read a weird fairy tale to me and Tyler. She has one in her possession that we have never heard before. Possibly one some of you have never heard before. And we're gonna read through the dang fairy tale like it's a modern story and just kind of jot down some plot notes as we go along.
Prior to starting the show, I didn't like make it a habit to seek out folklore, but since we've began, I have definitely not learned any new ones. Like I specifically decided to never read folklore again.
Uh-huh.
I'll just have Carmen do it to me.
Yeah, folklore happens to you. You don't go to folklore.
I would say that's
not
generally
anymore.
True. Folklore is a thing that happens to you, sort of just throughout the ages.
You just sort of survive it, if this shows any indicator.
We did also learn today that we're providing a valuable service to the youths of the world.
Are we?
Yeah.
I believe that was you tweeting, Gordy.
Celine Sigil 9... at Celine Sigil 9 on Twitter, tweeted, fairy tales are dying out with 2/3 of parents admitting their children have never heard of many classics, linking an article from The Mirror in the UK.
So now they have a backlog to just play for their kids.
Yeah.
And ever-growing ones.
A definitely kid-friendly...
So really...
They gotta learn someday.
Really what we're doing is we're updating these for the millennial and Gen Z demographics.
We are definitely having the hard conversations you don't want to have with your kids for you, like about downstairs bean kisses and the Wimbus.
I remember my Wimbus talk.
What we're saying is you can stop parenting.
we got you.
You need a boombox. That ain't gonna do it.
Hey guys, do you remember that time a parent emailed us asking us to teach
skate
their kids
lessons.
Skate, mm-hmm. skateboarding, I think?
And we definitely succeeded.
Yep.
We've taught every child to skateboard.
It's in your heart. The skateboard was in your heart the whole time. All right, so today we are going to India.
All right.
We have not been there for a bit. We are reading a Punjab tale called The Barber's Clever Wife. This is sourced from Tales of the Punjab, edited by Flora Annie Steele, and suggested by Jenna, the beloved nuisance of the show.
Mm. Can't wait.
Mm-hmm. Jenna is responsible for that Yonder Toad crochet piece, so find her on Twitter. Ask her for one. Give her money.
In that order.
All right, so I got nothing else. We just got a long tale to get through. You two ready?
Sure.
Do you need a boat watch?
What's this one about again? A barber and his wife?
Yeah.
In India.
No.
No boat.
No boat.
Stone predictions?
Takes place on a boat.
It's a house.
Gotcha.
Once upon a boat.
Fuck.
Once upon a time, there lived a barber. I'm going, by the way.
Yeah, it's fine.
Here we go. Once upon a time, there lived a barber who was such a poor, silly creature, read, stupid as hell, that he couldn't even barber right.
Bad profession to choose, then.
Probably. He would cut ears instead of hair, and cut throats instead of shaving.
Attend the tale.
Oh.
The demon
India
barber. The demon barber.
Yeah, a Sweeney Todd, you say. An accidental Sweeney Todd.
A dumb, dumb Sweeney Todd.
A Sweeney Claude.
Sweeney Claude.
Sure.
Got it in one,
Gordy,
Tyler.
For the listener, Gordy had to lower his head and close his eyes after hearing that. Just needed a little sec there to reboot.
He needed a quiet Gordy moment.
Sometimes the sound hits
needed
me.
Needed the world to go away.
Sometimes the sound hits me, and puns go into a separate circuit in my brain, and it takes like about 2 seconds for the meaning to hit, and really that circuit is just there to kind of trip some mental defenses, so I can brace for when it really hits me in full.
As a result of his probably many murders, he grew poorer every day, until one day he found himself with nothing in his house but his wife and his razor, both of whom were as sharp as could be.
That's a lot better than what could happen.
That's
for
true.
Someone with many murders under their under their belt.
That's true. And he does still have a house, which is more than we have.
It's, like, they're known... He's a known murderer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, stop
surely.
Going. Stop going to the barber.
How's police there?
Not present currently in Myth Times.
What's happening?
Is he a known murderer?
I mean...
Nobody's been able to tell on him.
People go for haircuts, and they don't come back.
Yeah.
I am not a professional detective. I think there's a pattern.
Well,
you at least talk to the barber.
Maybe they don't know about the murders, but he's not able to get that good word of mouth advertising.
Sure.
Which is the most important type of advertising.
Yeah, word on the street.
And so all of his like promoted Facebook posts and cool signs that he has stapled to light posts, that's just not bringing in the dough.
All those cool signs that he stapled to kids and then flipped them in the air.
Yeah, like you do for marketing.
Because the screaming would attract attention.
Sure, yeah.
To the signs.
It's like your very own wavy noodle arm man, but a child yelling with a poster on him. But yeah, he also doesn't get the repeat business in it. As the marketers and the audience know, like, if that's the least costly business to get.
This was a time before credit cards, though.
I mean, yeah, but you still want to, like, a customer kept is less expensive than a customer gained.
Sure, but he's getting bigger lump sums than a normal barber would, in that he gets to keep the contents of the wallet.
That's true.
Well, I mean, it doesn't explicitly say he's also a thief, but I feel like if you accidentally kill somebody in your barber shop and you have to cover it up, probably you just take the wallet and
probably.
Stuff. Probably. To, like, you're already in pretty deep, you might as well.
His wife was exceedingly clever, and she was constantly scolding him for his stupidity and maybe also for all the blood on the floor.
A real Deborah. Just a what? Deborah all the way down.
Who's the other... Oh my gosh, what's the show with, like, Straight to the Moon... One day, whiz bang.
It's for old folks, I don't know.
Whoever.
That's not even in Kingdom Hearts. How am I supposed to know that?
Okay, could it be, though? Should it be?
Those are different questions.
Could it or should it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Could it? No. Should it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, obviously. Whiz bang, straight to the moon, etc.
See, in Kingdom Hearts, you would want to go straight to the moon because the moon is a heart and it's called Kingdom Hearts.
Yes.
It's the goal of every game.
Is it?
So if you get straight to the moon, that's like a shortcut. It's like a game genie.
You go to frickin' space.
From an old racist.
You fight fortresses in space. How hard is the moon to get to?
It's trickier than you'd think.
Like, it is closest space object, probably closer than fortress. Alright, so the scolding starts in pretty heavily when she discovers that he has lost everything that they own but the razor and her, I guess.
She's a real king of queens.
So the barber took the scolding calmly, because he's probably used to it by now, and he says, "What's the use of making a fuss? You've told me all this before, and
you
yeah,
said don't murder before."
Yeah, it's true. I never did work, I never could work, and I never will work. That's a fact. The end. Wipe my hands of it.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Pretty firm.
The wife says, "All right then, if that's the case, you need to go begging, because I am not going to starve to please you."
Sure, yeah, okay.
It's a fair exchange.
I track.
"Go beg at the palace. There's currently a wedding feast going on, so the king is sure to give alms to the poor. And you are a poor for sure."
You're a poor. I'm not a poor.
How is this going to end in a murder? I'm curious.
Tyler, Crime Watch?
High. High chance of crime. Considering we've already had a dozen.
Do you have any specific crime predictions?
He will murder the king and assume his place.
I'm going to go with tax fraud.
Well, the barber agrees to go a-begging because he's afraid of his wife. And he goes.
What's the name of the story again?
The Barber's Clever Wife.
Okay, so that doesn't give me any more information on potential crimes.
Doesn't. It's going to be a process crime, like obstruction of justice. Or suborning perjury.
So he goes to the palace to beg for something. And when he does this, the king says, "Something? What thing? Like, what specific thing are you begging for?"
She didn't tell me.
Basically, yeah. She hadn't given him specific instructions, and he's a useless man baby, so he says, something?
Binky.
So the king says, "Well, will a piece of land do ya?" Like,
it's very generous, king.
I don't know what poor people need. I live in a royalty playpen.
It's like asking Howard Schultz how much Cheerios cost.
What do you eat? Rubies? I don't know.
you just take a desperate stab at like what being a poor must be like.
You could probably get a boat out of him pretty easy.
Name brand Cheerios cost like $4.
Out of Howard Schultz?
Yeah.
Like, I personally could get a boat out of him?
Yeah, in exchange for some Cheerios.
Fake
brand
Cheerios.
That's the going rate.
Yeah, I wonder how it would go bartering with billionaires.
You try to convince them that this will make them appear like a man of the people.
Yeah.
Doing our base exchanges.
Didn't we talk about Robin Hood grifts not too long ago?
We did.
This is a good one.
Yeah, like, can we... Like, Howard Schultz, while you're running for president, can I be your accessories guy? Like, let me dress you up as one of the folks and give you, like, a frayed flannel shirt, plaid flannel shirt.
We're gonna go full Macklemore on you.
Here's like, $1.87 and loose change in your pocket. Macklemore?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Howard Schultz is gonna pop some tags. He's only got a boat in his pocket.
I got you.
Not just a boat, Tyler. A yacht.
Or here, let me trade you this very valuable box of Cheerios, priced at $200 US for your, I don't know, something. What do I want out of Howard Schultz? Maybe just for him to go home.
Which home?
What's any of them?
I don't care. Pick one and stay there. Okay, so the king asks if a piece of land will do him, and the barber says, I guess. I don't know. Sure. So the king orders a piece of waste land outside the city to be given to the barber, who goes home satisfied. See, he doesn't know any better.
Did it.
He got land?
Did a beg, got a thing.
I mean, he got land.
Yeah.
That's not the worst.
I mean,
wasteland.
It's wasteland, but I mean, I don't know. You could test nukes on it or something.
That's where the good money is.
She claims to have clever plans, so we don't know.
I don't know. Lease it back to the government. You can do something with a big patch of land.
So the clever wife is waiting impatiently and says, "All right, what did you get? Just hand it over so I can go buy us bread so we don't starve to death, idiot." And he says, "Well, I
got a deed.
We own land now. We're landowners." And so
again,
she scolds pretty heavily because land is useless until it's tilled, and they don't have the money for a plow or bullocks to pull it. So, like, what the fuck you think you're gonna do with this?
Just get a loan from the bank. Everybody can
learn
get a loan.
Learn to barb.
Again.
Go to barb school.
Yeah.
Become a barbsmith. A true one.
Loans are easy to get. People walk in and out of banks with money all the time.
Go set up a barber clinic in the bank and kill everyone in there. Just take everything out of it.
Debt is nothing. Very, very easy to pay off. Not a problem in this country.
Well, luckily, she's an exceedingly clever person, so she sets her wits about to making the best of this patch of random land that her husband banged off a king.
Sure.
So she takes her dumb husband with her to the land and tells him to do exactly as she does. So she starts walking around the field, peering anxiously into the ground, but when anyone comes by, she sits down and pretends to be doing nothing at all.
Clever.
Mm-hmm.
And it so happened that 7 thieves were hiding out in a thicket nearby.
A thief thicket?
That's where you find them. Their natural habitat.
Is that where you get the expression as thicket of thieves?
Yes. That exact.
I believe that is where it comes from.
So they were watching this couple do this weird stuff all day. Finally, convinced that something mysterious is going on, at sunset, the time of thieves, when they're allowed to move from their thickets, they send one of their number out to find out what's up. So the barber's wife beats about the bush and swears them to secrecy a few times before she tells them what she's doing.
What?
Can we call it thieve, but E-V-E?
Thievening.
Thievening.
Why? So the thief just like straight up asks her.
Yeah, she's like.
It's like, hey, what are you doing out here?
What's this business about? At sunset, I'm allowed to talk to people now.
I thought he'd be, like, threatening her or something.
Nah, he just wants to know what's up.
Like, trying to steal the information in some way.
He's stealing it in a straightforward, friendly manner. Stealing with a smile. It's the new thief's cant.
The sun is down. We're allowed to climb out of the thicket and stretch our legs.
So she swears him to secrecy and then tells them that the field belonged to their grandfather and he buried 5 pots of gold in it. But she's not sure where, and she doesn't want to spend the whole night digging, so she's just trying to, like, get an idea of where the pots are.
Thief treats.
Yeah, gold pieces are thief treats.
Scooby snacks for thieves.
It's very expensive to buy a bag of them.
But you can get your thief to do all kinds of cool tricks, like stay in thicket all day and speak.
I taught my thief to high five.
That has to be murder on the calves.
To be murder on a lot of the body. Thickets are not that comfortable.
No.
Especially for a multitude of humans to share.
Thickets have not been comfortable since I was like 6 or 7.
Well, hold on. How old are these thieves?
We only have a number of them, not an age. Later, at least one of them's an adult.
So it's like a Fagin.
Sure.
And his rowdy boys in the thicket.
Yeah. So she makes him pinky promise that he's not going to tell anyone and then goes home. The moment that the barber and the wife are gone, he called his companions, and they dug all night and basically plow the field hunting for the gold.
Yeah.
Not how that works, but I'll accept it.
I think it'd be very hard to plant in a field that's just, like, riddled with random holes.
Did she give them, like, did she say specifically how deep it would have been dug?
No.
Like, if you get this far down, stop. And like move to the next patch. Like,
it's not that far down, and they were buried in lines.
We know this.
That's what he said.
He left it in this very mysterious note with a treasure map, where there's just a big X all over the field.
We cracked the haiku.
It was in a Da Vinci painting. Okay, so the wife goes back the next morning and laughs at like just chuffed at her own cleverness and getting her field plowed for free. And then she
goes, a real Tom Sawyer plan.
Yeah. Then she goes to the corn dealer's shop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The corn store.
Corn R Us.
This episode is sponsored by ethanol.
And she borrows
the corn lobby.
She borrows some rice to sow.
From who?
The corn dealer.
No.
Wait. No, you're right. I don't like this anymore.
Corn this dealer isn't a good deals game. In many things.
We were sold a bill of goods and it was corn.
She goes to the... I can't even repeat it.
The corn dealer is happy to loan her the rice.
Does corn come from rice?
Because he reckons...
What are you like teaching me?
It's all grains.
And my impressionable mind.
I keep going over it thinking that it's going to click somewhere. Why does he have the rice? He's like staked his lot out and it's in corn. There's no rice dealer.
I mean, gas stations also sell Twizzlers.
But if you call it like this is a gas only store, then that's it, I think.
I mean, but he's not saying corn only, just it's corn shop.
Okay, maybe like, that's just his branding.
Kind of like you can go to the food mart and get not food items.
Maybe that's how, like, if I saw a store called, I don't know, Broccoli Cellar.
Is that like cellar, like basement?
Either one.
Yeah, they
really.
Both work. They two competing businesses, Broccoli Cellar, set up across the street from each other.
They're just constantly shaking their fists at each other until a customer comes in.
And then they all diversify in order to continue enticing customers, like Broccoli Cellar now with carrots. Then eventually they become Food Lion.
This is the only time I've ever been mad to have rice mentioned.
Broccoli Cellar with a C's son opened corn store. And Broccoli Cellar S's daughter married the son at corn store and said, let's sell rice too. And put them both out of business.
When you have corn and rice, fuck broccoli. No one wants
it. But here's the... Okay.
Here's the broccoli and rice would go way better together.
Yeah. It's true. Than broccoli and corn?
Well, corn and rice.
Corn and rice? You can have rice with anything. It doesn't matter.
I guess.
You can. I've done it.
It's true. I've seen it.
I mean, yeah,
this.
You are the foremost expert.
The thing about this is she's not buying rice from this store.
No, she's borrowing.
So it might not be sold. She might have just been like, hey, corn man.
You're like, a man of means.
Like, do
you're
you have any right?
And he, just,
and he just like takes a handful out of his pocket, like it's loose change, and hands it to her. So it might still be an exclusively corn store. he just happens to have some rice on his person, but it's not for sale.
I was gonna say this is like the cherry man selling you guns, but he probably would. So it's a bad example.
I think cherry man would sell you most things.
I was going to suppose that corn dealer might be a cherry man, a cherry man disguise.
We'll see.
But he's happy to do this.
I'm interested in corn today.
Branching out.
This corn. Is my day.
Corn cherries.
Chorn.
Oh no. Oh,
carries.
No. Chorn sounds really grim. It does kind of fit with what I ascribe to him, just some sort of mutagenic properties in general.
Sure.
And I feel like disgusting plant hybrids might be in his wheelhouse.
Chairman deals in corn now, but Chairman has pockets full of rice if you're looking.
Yeah, a man walking around with loose rice in his pockets, this is sounding more like Cherry Man. So we have to tread very carefully here. If anybody new is listening to this and you don't know who the Cherry Man is...
Good.
Check out the episode called Chaboy and Savior.
It'll explain everything. All right, so he reckons he'd get back threefold his pocket rice at harvest time. And he did.
Okay.
So fast forward to harvest time. The crop is fantastic. She's able to pay all her debts to the cherry corn ricemen.
What about the thieves?
Keep enough rice to feed herself, and then also sell the rest for a crock of gold pieces.
Did she go to the... is the thicket still a factor?
I mean, they presumably still...
sold.
Did okay. they retreat to the thicket after yeah. they didn't find gold?
Yes.
So she has money.
Now she has money from her rice field.
How much?
A crock of money.
Wait, go over the steps again. She goes to the corn boy.
She buys rice, or she borrows
she
rice.
She borrows rice.
She plants rice.
Yes.
Montage of season shifting.
She pays yes. back times three rice interest.
Sure, let's assume.
Yeah, she does, and so she still has rice for her household.
Yes, she has rice now.
And she has enough rice to trade in for a crock of gold.
It was a shit ton of rice. It
a
was
crock of gold.
A crock full of gold.
A crock pot?
A crock shoe.
Sure. Yes, a crock pot full of gold.
A crock pot. Okay, I know how much that is.
Yes. It's a lot of friggin'
it's like
rice.
8 servings of gold.
This wasteland was obviously not being used properly if it had that much fertile like, rice
yeah,
power
fertility.
In it. Okay.
This is potentially Cherry Man rice, though.
That's true.
And so yes. God only knows what it's capable of.
It's been genetically mutated. It is GMO full.
It was a crock in the Legend of Gobo's gold.
GMO, what's the O stand for?
I forget.
Corn.
Out the ass?
Yes. Genetically modified out the ass. So, following Tyler's theory, yes, the thieves just live in that thicket because they do see this happen.
Around them?
Wait a minute, we did all that work
for like a year?
Yeah. And they get really angry and march to the barber's house and demand their share for tilling the field.
Again, they are thieves. What one would think they would maybe just thieve, like rob them in kind.
Are they just self-proclaimed? They have done no thieving.
They want to be thieves really badly.
Mm.
Amateur thieves.
So they're kind of grinding up their thief levels by spending time in a thicket.
they're living they're thief posers. They're living the thief lifestyle without having the thief skills.
These are the early missions in the Thieves Guild.
They're doing the thing in Skyrim where you level up stealth by crouching everywhere, and they're just
yes.
going in circles around the thicket.
Exactly.
You know, like a thief merry-go-round.
Exactly.
A conga line of thieves.
If they all face outwards, then none of them can see each other, so they're still hidden.
The barber's wife just laughs at them and says, I told you there was gold in the ground. You didn't find it. I did. Now I have a crock of it, and you rascals shall never have a farthing.
The end.
And then she burned their thicket so they would go away.
She put,
they would scatter.
She put a like thief killer out in there.
Pesticides for grown men. That's basically what fire is. If you think about it.
I'd say fire is kind of a catch-all pesticide, yes. When you're not, you don't need to be discriminate in what you need out of there.
All right, so the thieves, fine. You watch yourselves because we're going to crime that money straight out from you. That's our job. We're finally going to do it. So that night, one of the thieves hid himself in the house somehow.
Okay. Just managed to sneak in.
Just, like, hangs out in the house. Maybe just didn't leave when the rest of them did.
Pretty good at stealth.
And he waits there to open the door for his comrades once the housefolk are asleep. But the barber's wife saw him out of the corner of her eye, because this house is probably not that big.
And it's like a studio apartment.
Yes, he's just, like, sitting in a corner. With
pretending to be a lamp.
With a fern in front of him. A lampshade on his head.
He hid behind a fern because it was kind of like a thicket, which is his element.
Just all he knew.
He felt at home. So she decides to play some games with the thieves. Why
like
not?
Mario Party.
Sometimes you have to play chess against yourself.
Bananagrams.
So her husband comes to her in a dreadful state of alarm, asks, like, where are the gold pieces? Where'd you put them? She says, I put them where no one will find them. They're under the sweetmeats and the crock standing in the niche by the door.
Okay.
Sort of hidden in plain sight.
They're hidden under a bunch of food in a pot.
Uh-huh.
So, where no human dares tread.
So from underneath his lampshade, the thief chuckles to himself hearing this, and when they go to bed, he grabs the crock and runs out to his comrades, and they run to the thicket to dispatch the spoil.
What?
They gotta run back as fast as they can and shout, base! Crime complete.
That's how Finders Keepers works. So the thief said, she said there were sweetmeats on top, so let's eat those first, because thieving is hungry business, turns out.
Uh-huh.
So he divided the stuff as well as he could in the dark. But in reality, she had filled the crock full of horrible things for them. So when they crammed it in their mouths, it was super gross, and they vowed revenge. Does not clarify what the horrible things are, but just nasty. Nasty stuff.
So nasty, horrible things came from?
The wife. She put nasty, horrible things in the pot.
But where did she get them?
She already had them.
Because I can think of a source.
Yeah.
That we have already discussed.
Sure.
Is it barber victims?
It's the same. It's the same place the rice came from.
Oh.
I mean, she had to get horrible things from someone.
She just goes to the cherry corn rice man and say, hey, give me your most horrible things. And he just, a big grin almost splits his face in two because he's been waiting for this moment his whole life.
Under his wide straw hat.
He lifts the hat and he takes out a special jar and he hands it to her wordlessly.
What are the horrible things?
Are they of this dimension?
You're suggesting they're Lovecraftian in nature.
Yes, I am suggesting that.
I was going to say beavers.
Beavers?
So beavers not of this world.
Otherworldly miniature beavers.
So what if...
Well, I was thinking like long dead beavers.
Oh, okay.
Beaver bits.
Or if like Mr. Howard Phillips Lovecraft had been eating beaver. And had the idea for Cthulhu, but beaver.
Yeah.
Instead of squids.
Bafulu.
Bafulu. The beaver Thulu.
Because I'm imagining Cherry Man, or Corn Man, as he may sometimes be. My new vision of him, like visually,
uh-huh.
Is like whatever he's selling that day is his hat. That's how you can tell.
That's the thing on the brim.
Well, he has like a cherry-shaped hat and a corn-shaped hat.
Uh-huh.
And a beaver hat. And uh-huh. He pulls a jar of, like, beaver eyes out from under the hat and gives it to her.
Okay.
This is what I have today.
I was imagining with, like, just kind of a, like, a traveler's cloak with many, many pockets sewed into the inside.
Sure.
My vision of him is the, like, kind of moth-eaten straw hat with the brim and cherry stuck in it.
Uh-huh.
A business tie, because he's a businessman.
He is a reputable businessman.
And a vest, no shirt.
Reputable businessman,
yeah.
Pants that were once nice, but have definitely seen better days.
Not his.
Not his pants.
Pinstripe.
And shoes where you can see the toe, like his toes out of one of them.
Uh-huh.
And just a big grin.
I get a lot more shapelessness.
You just see from a shadow man.
From Cherry. Like, so many parts are hidden and shifting around in there. It's hard to pin down the actual form. These could all be correct at once.
It's true.
He is as, like...
He is the elder being of Doug.
The form of Cherry Man is in the eye of the beholder.
Yes.
All right, so they march back to the barber's house the next day to demand their share, and the wife laughs at them, and they warn her that even though she has fooled them twice by making them dig and then feeding them filth that broke the rules of their caste, so whatever the filth was, it was against like caste law, which is kind of a big deal.
That's savage, barber lady.
Tonight, it's their time to shine, and they'll definitely crime it up right, so she better watch herself.
I mean, I'm not holding out hope for them.
Yeah.
So another thief hid himself in the house behind the same friend wearing the same lampshade.
Pretty good plan.
But the wife sees him too. So,
because it's the same spot.
So when the husband comes with what is apparently his customary panic about the gold, like every night, like clockwork, he has a panic attack about the gold and runs to her, which is, I guess, how she knew that she could set up that trap.
I mean, he has a dog's mind. Where... Like, he forgets that he has a thing and then desperately needs to know where that thing is.
So he can
and
be,
that it does exist.
So he can be disinterested in it once again.
Correct.
Yes, exactly.
They're not using a lot of that gold, it seems.
Yeah, who knows? Setting it by for the next time he screws up and she needs to pay bail or whatever.
Well, they have this thicket problem currently they need to deal with.
Yeah.
So when the husband comes with the customary gold panic, she says, "Now calm yourself down. I hid it in a tree outside where no one would think to look for it."
And the thief says, "Fuck, I hid myself inside."
Right.
Now I have to get outside.
So he's like, "Yeah." And he goes out when they're in bed to tell his comrades where it is. And they do see something in the tree. So one climbs up, but it's a hornet's nest.
I was going to say bees.
When the thief gets close, one of the hornets comes out and stings him on his thigh. So he slaps that spot, and the other thieves see that motion and thinks he's pocketing the gold for himself.
And they beat him to death.
And they start yelling at him and calling him a sneak, and they send another thief after him. And that thief gets stung and is hitting himself. And so all the thieves think that both of them are now stealing the gold for themselves and shout, "What? Shame, shabby, shh," which is a weird thing to yell at people.
It is. Agreed.
Yeah, it is.
And they all climb up to get stung. And when it was the captain's turn to climb up, he grabs the entire nest, like he just goes for it.
Well, someone is in charge.
And when he does this, the branch beneath all of them breaks, and they all fall to the ground, and the hornets fall on top of them, and they get stung all to hell. This gives the wife...
How many of them are alert?
3 of the 7.
Pretty good ratio.
But now they're probably all allergic from that much
from
venom.
Contact.
Yeah. So this gives the barber's wife a little bit of peace for a while. Because they're all up in the hospital for a long time.
Oh, I thought you meant like that night. She needed to hear like people being stung by wasps to go to bed peacefully. That's the rain noise,
yeah,
to her.
That's her white noise machine.
I mean, you could build that machine.
The waspinator.
So the thieves are gone for so long in the hospital that she does relax her watchfulness. And one night she leaves the window open and goes to bed, and she's awakened by whisperings outside, and she instantly recognizes their voices.
Uh-huh.
The stooges return.
She's like, "Ah, shit, I didn't plan for this, and my window's open, but I'm not going down without a fight. They might get in, but I'm gonna make this rough on
we
them.
We have barbing tools.
And a gun.
And a gun from Cherry Man.
The cherry gun.
Smith & Wesson cherry gun.
This is why I like the visual of Cherry Man having like a hat shaped like the thing that he sells. Because she goes in and she's like, "I need something to deal with these thieves." And he's like, "I might have something," with a pistol shaped hat.
Alright, so she grabs her husband's razor and she creeps to the side of the window to wait. The first thief begins to creep through cautiously, and she waits till the tip of his nose was visible, and then she slices it off with a razor as clean as a whistle. "Confound it!" yelled the thief, drawing back. "I've cut my nose on something!" The others tell him to shut his mouth before he wakes someone and like, go get on with it, get back in there and do some thieving.
So she doesn't say, "Got your nose," when she does it.
She says it in her head silently.
It's a missed opportunity.
That would have. This could have been a Fast and Furious movie if she had quips.
I thought you meant that "got your nose" was a Fast and Furious catchphrase.
I mean, it
I
sounds
missed.
Like it could be.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen those movies.
It is like
so
an
I was
action
just assuming
one-liner.
That someone did cut someone else's nose off and say that.
I'd like to see that in a trailer.
You could envision that.
Kind of grunted out by Vin Diesel rubbing his rock slabs together. That are his vocal cords.
That was an intense visual that just had popped in my brain.
So this thief refuses to go in because he is bleeding like a pig from his nose.
Yeah.
So the second thief says, "You just knocked your nose against the shutter, you big baby." And he takes his place coming in, and he also loses the tip of his nose and cries, "Dear me, there really is something sharp inside."
What did she actually put there?
She has
a razor.
She is chopping off their noses.
Okay.
From the barbing.
That's right. She didn't really get a gun.
No. We made that part up.
The third thief says, "You guys are ridiculous. It's probably just their bamboo lattice." And he takes the place of the second thief and also loses his nose tip. And this goes on to the sixth thief with like different yelling. And then it's the captain's turn. And the captain, I guess, is a little wiser than the rest of them.
He limbos under it.
And he says, you're all of you have...
He matrix slides under the razor in the window.
You have all sustained a very specific injury from this. One man among us must remain unhurt to protect the wounded.
And it is me.
So let's just come back later. He was, after all, a cautious man, and he valued his nose.
Yeah, cautious men send everyone else in their troop just kind of charging down the same lane.
So they creep away, and the barber's wife lights a lamp and gathers up all the nose tips in a little box.
Gross.
For a trophy.
That is payment. That's what Cherry Man wanted. The rice is immaterial.
Do you have anything to help me, Cherry Man? On one condition.
The nose tips.
I need six men's nose tips.
Don't ask questions. Just
give me
deliver.
The noses.
Is it for like a spell or something?
Could be. See what comes my way.
The rice is nothing to him.
He can just pull rice out of his pockets any day.
He's gonna make like man kielbasa with them.
Oh, he's gonna grow new men out of them.
It's what he plants to make more cherry men to send out into the world.
There's all kinds of things he could do.
So the hot season comes before the robbers' noses are healed over completely, and so it's been a while since they've seen them. And they once again kind of like relax their caution.
Sure.
And it's hot, so they put their beds outside to sleep.
Sounds okay.
Thieves do notice this from their thicket far away with binoculars. And they seize the opportunity for revenge. They go and they lift.
Is it like. Are they all like stacked on each other's shoulders?
Yes.
Like a crow's nest. Yes. Out in the thicket?
With one having a spyglass.
Yeah.
Because the thicket is on the edge of the wasteland, which is outside of the town that
right.
they live in. So they're not, like, adjacent.
No.
So they lift the wife's bed, and they carry her off while she's fast asleep. So she wakes up...
And they put her out on the river like a camp prank.
She wakes up to find herself in bed, carried by four robbers, with three running beside her. And she's, well, so she figures, well, shit, I'm in for it now. I definitely did not plan for this. But luck is on her side, and the robbers pause for breath under a banyan tree. Quick as lightning, she grabs a branch and swings herself up, leaving...
Dang! Stunts!
Got everything.
Leaving the quilt on the bed as though she were still in it.
Dang!
This is a Fast and Furious movie.
And she did that silently.
She did.
Is she Tom Cruise?
I think she's even sneakier. The robbers decide to chill under this tree for a little bit because they complain that she is very heavy in the bed.
She's that guy from Ocean's 12 who danced his way through the lasers.
She wants to laugh at them, but she manages to keep it inside and watches them silently from the tree while they argue about who gets to do the first watch. Finally, the thieves decide that it should be the captain because he still has his nose and everyone else is still recovering from that trauma.
Fair.
So they fall asleep, and the captain walks up and down, watching the bed, while the wife sits perched up in the tree like a great bird.
Terrifying.
She gets an idea while she's up there, and she draws her white veil over her head and begins to sing softly.
Okay, let's see where this goes.
The robber captain looks up and sees a veiled figure of a woman in a tree. He's surprised. He is not bright enough to maybe check the bed. But he is also a good-looking fellow, and he's rather vain of himself. So he jumps.
That's why he had to keep his nose pristine.
Right.
For the thicket women.
Jumps. You never know when a thicket lady might come by.
Might come a calling. For an unsuccessful thief.
But a thief's captain, and women love a man in uniform.
What a high-ranking unsuccessful thief.
He's got the captain's bars on his crappy thieves' clothes. So he jumps immediately to the conclusion that this is a fairy.
Yep.
Who has fallen in love with him.
Of course.
Fairies, after all, do such things sometimes, especially on moonlit nights like this one. That's their jam. That gets fairies hot and ready to go.
Move over, thicket ladies.
Is there like a whole little village in there?
The thicket?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called Fraggle Rock.
Is it bigger on the inside?
He
twirled his mustaches and strutted about and waited for her to speak. So I like this image of this thief, like, just twirling with both fingers,
both.
Strutting like a peacock, and just waiting silently for this lady to speak, like a fellow on OKCupid who, like, pokes you or whatever over and over again, just, like, waiting for you to respond. Checks your thing.
Literally peacocking.
Yes. So she goes on singing with no notice of him, so he stops peacocking and calls out, "Come down, my beauty! I won't hurt you."
Good opener.
It's a good line.
Check out this spaghetti mustache trick.
Try that at the next time you're at a bar trying to pick up a person. Just be like, "Come over here, my beauty. I won't hurt you."
While twirling both the mustaches.
Because, like, reassurances like that are not that reassuring.
The only way that can possibly play is if you can convince the room that you have like traveled to the bar from the year 1400. and so they all assume, like, oh, he's from the past, he just doesn't know.
He is just a dummy. So she keeps singing, and he's like, well, obviously that means she wants me to come up after her. So he has so many men. So he climbs up after her to attract her attention. And when he comes close, she turns her head away from him and sighs heavily.
Okay. She doesn't just, like, kick him out of the tree?
No, she does the equivalent of putting her headphones in at the MARTA. And tenderly he asks, what's the matter, my beauty? Of course you are a fairy, and you have fallen in love with me. But
I am to be a king!
But there's nothing to sigh at in that, surely. The barber's wife sighs again, turns her music up. She says, I believe you're fickle. Men with long noses always are. So the robber captain swears he is the most constant of men, he has never cheated on anybody, etc. But the fairy keeps sighing until he wishes that his nose had been shortened too.
She's just after the full set.
I mean, Cherry Man wants what Cherry Man wants. She has a debt.
Your debts will be paid.
One way or another, the debt will be paid. I don't know if the nose tips of six men is everything. She's gotten a lot out of that rice.
But he does need a seventh nose.
At least.
He needs a seventh something.
I don't know. Does Cherry Man give stuff away for free? Or is he like a, like, always get your due kind of being?
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
You think so? You think so?
Sure. He's a businessman.
He has the tie.
I think in some way, in some fashion, that will always become true.
Yeah.
But it might not be a literal repayment.
Cherry Man doesn't work pro bono.
Probably
not.
Not
know how you're repaying him.
Yes.
You are.
You will be eventually.
Alright, so...
There's no such thing as free cherries.
So he keeps begging, and she keeps saying, you're telling stories. And then she finally says, if you let me touch your tongue with the tip of my tongue, I'll be able to taste if you're fibbing.
It's like a kiss.
Yeah, but just tongue.
A tongue kiss?
All tongue, no lip.
It's an unorthodox way to do it, but...
It's a middle school kiss.
Touching your tongues together?
When you don't understand it and you know that tongues are involved and you're just like... Eh.
Yeah.
Give this a try, I suppose.
My first kiss was very wet and sloppy. I did not enjoy it. So he puts his tongue out, and she leans in slowly and bites the tip of it clean off.
Dang.
The tongue?
Yeah.
Mmm.
Cherry Man gets what Cherry Man wants.
Yeah, that is the true repayment there.
So with frightened pain, he falls out of the tree to the ground with his legs very wide apart, looking like he'd fallen from the skies.
We're just, like, hearing a crack of thunder and, like, a lightning strike in the distance as the Cherry Man cries, "The seal is broken!"
So his comrades wake up and ask him what's the matter, but he can only say, "La la la la."
Right.
Can I get that one more time?
Without the tip of his tongue. So he keeps repeating this, pointing upward, until the other robbers come to the conclusion that there is definitely a ghost in that tree.
For sure.
So the barber's wife, hearing this conclusion, encourages the belief by flapping her veil and howling.
Okay. She might have gotten more from Cherry Man than she wanted.
She was imbued with the cherry spirit. She probably still has a tongue in her mouth.
That was cherry rice.
It's very special rice indeed.
Yeah.
All the thieves set off at a run, dragging the leader with them, and the barber's wife comes down from the tree, puts the bed on her head, and walks quietly home.
Oh.
Tongue still in mouth.
Probably. Or she transferred it to an apron pocket at some point.
Put it on ice.
So the thieves come to the conclusion that there's no use gaining their point by force, so they go to the law to claim their share. These are very, very bad thieves. We're taking you to a small claims court.
7 thieves strutting down the road, 6 of them without a nose tip.
One of them without a tongue.
One of them without a tongue. They're all snapping as they walk into the police station.
We have a crime to report. Bring us a judge.
We are thieves and we'd like to report a crime. We're the Thicket Gang. Have they done...
It's us, Thicket Chris and company.
What are their specific crimes thus far? Attempted breaking and entering.
Successful breaking and entering.
And successful.
Wearing a lampshade.
They've both done it and attempted.
Yeah.
A kidnapping.
Yeah.
Attempted theft.
I would say harassment.
Yeah, certainly. Definitely that.
Let's go. Loitering. So in a thicket.
We'll see what happens in court. Maybe I'll get my process crime.
Court is in session.
We're certainly closer to your prediction than to mine.
What was yours?
That someone would kill the king and usurp him. Has not been a big player.
No.
Since that beginning.
What was Gordy's?
I'm going with a process crime like suborning perjury or obstruction of justice.
Mm. All right, so court's in session, and the barber's wife is her own representative.
Mm-hmm.
She pleads her own case. She brings out the noses and tongue and tip as evidence. I'm sure this court scene is hilarious. They do not go into detail.
Cherry Man is the judge, and he winks at her.
She slides him the box at the end of it. He puts it under his hat.
Approach the bench.
Exhibits A through Z.
Your Honor, the defense rests.
Not guilty. So the king is so impressed.
Well, what did the thieves say?
We want money, we tilled her field.
Did they tell the truth?
Probably. They're most not very good at that crime.
It's too bad.
The king or the judge?
The king.
What is the king, the judge?
I think probably in this case.
Interesting setup.
Okay, like, yeah. A lot of times in olden days, times, like, one of royalty's jobs was to oversee the legal squabbles of their people.
Yeah.
And make decisions before that was.
If you could round them up
and
into the.
Dresses.
Into the stand.
And wigs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was man in robes and crown, and then he was like, let's make these robes into dress robes and crown into wig and scepter into gavel, and you do this part and I'll go play in the playpen some more because I'm sick of these responsibilities and I just want people to bring me coats. So he's so impressed with her and her whole court case and everything that he rewards her by making her husband his advisor.
Go on.
Because
why would he make the husband the advisor? Why not her?
Because this man will never do a foolish thing while his wife is around.
Why not just make her the advisor?
Also, inaccurate, he's done many foolish things, and there's a pile of bodies in his garden.
There are many counts of idiocy on this man's part.
The book itself does actually give a paragraph to this. Like the judgment of, like, the value's with the woman, but the reward goes to the man.
Mm-hmm.
Situation, but, and that being a really common thing. Like, can't have a lady in a position of power, even if she's the one who did stuff.
Is the story over?
Story's over, yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna say that I was right, but in the future. Because he's been put in a position of power now.
Next
to the king.
You know, the setup is right there.
And one day the king will be like, you're a barber, right? I could use a shave. And that's how regicide happens.
I was so hoping they would go into the details of that case. Like, the arguments on either side, because
I can't,
like, if they lied, that's perjury. And that's a process crime,
yep.
I think. So I could have been right, but I don't know what they said.
I'll say we were both very close.
The possibility is there for both of them.
You were both remarkably close given the track record of this podcast.
I am also correct in that there is no boat.
You are correct.
Is there is not even a place where a boat could have been.
Also true.
There is no water.
As for Big Big Rock,
yeah,
I will say I want to take a different approach on this one.
Yeah.
You're not just going to throw it in the thicket.
Well, that would be the obvious choice, right? And it would have to be like a very big, big rock to do that. I mean, which is not out of the question.
It is
a big rock.
It is a big, big rock.
I would like a series of big rocks encasing the thicket.
Just sort of sealing it away.
Yeah, so they can't get out.
For all time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just thieves' henge.
Thieves' henge inside. They and they and the thicket women can just have their society.
Yeah.
Within the confines of the rock coffin.
They will learn to eat thicket for sustenance, and then someday they will be excavated out by, like, aliens or something, and that'll be its own adventure.
Yeah. Maybe they'll outlive the rest of us.
That's, like, borderline Twilight Zone.
Yeah, I know. Text Jordan Peele.
It might be more Shyamalan. I think it's just the village.
Yeah, you're right. It's
but it's a thief thicket.
It's the village.
I would watch a remake of The Village surrounding these seven thieves and their thicket. Right, let's fix this story without a rock.
I mean, honestly, Cherry Man fills in so many gaps because there are so few limitations.
Yeah, Cherry Man makes the story a lot better. I think, number one fix, give this woman her own name and stop referring to her as Barber's wife because he's not even a barber for the majority of the story.
Right. I mean, it'd definitely be more, like, exciting if the thieves were at all competent. And it was, like, a fun sort of battle of wits on both sides.
I think that this is perfectly fine.
Yeah, I kind of like the dumbass thieves.
I have no problem with this story. Except for the name.
Give her a name.
Name would be nice.
I kind of want her to get rid of the barber somehow.
Well, I have a question.
Yeah.
About how we feel about razors.
Yes.
Are they knives?
Are they knives?
Ooh.
Does that qualify?
Ooh.
Because she's got the gumption.
She
has a bladed weapon.
She takes care of business.
Okay, I'm going to cite precedent here.
Mm-hmm.
Did we include somebody who had an axe or a hatchet of some kind?
The question was raised. I don't know if it was resolved.
Did we rule either way on that?
I don't know. I think this is closer to knife than an axe is, though.
It's awfully close. Like, it's like a shaving razor, right?
Yeah, it's like a straight razor.
That's basically a knife.
That is a knife for your face.
That's basically that's a hair knife.
I'm going to go yes.
I say yes.
All right. New inductee.
Boy.
Barbara.
Look at that. Barbarella. We got a Church of the Knife member and a Cherry Man story at the same time.
That's a good story.
Hold on. Wait, back up.
Yeah.
I don't know if both of these can be true. She had magical help.
She doesn't have
magical powers.
No.
We gave her magical help.
We gave her magical help. I don't think the Cherry Man gave her, like, magic to fix things. I think he was just like, here's some cool rice.
It just happened to be good rice. Yeah.
Okay. I think this is worth defining.
She didn't solve any of her problems with magic. If anything...
She did not, unless the rice itself is magic in some way.
If the rice itself is magic, the only problem it solved was her poverty and caused the rest of the issues.
Okay.
That she then had to solve without magic. So I think she's still...
Yes, truly it incited more problems.
Yes.
Seven of them from a thicket.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. She did not employ magic to solve her problems. She has what is basically a knife for your head. Confirmed.
The other way I'd fix this story, she leaves the barber.
He doesn't need to be there. Like he's barely there. He could be not a character.
That's true. Although it does kind of I like the setup of her being a traditional housewife to this idiot man,
and solving it.
And she decides.
It gets her into that rough position of, we have nothing but a razor. Go fix my problem. He does it bad. She takes everything into her own hands, and she leaves him once she gets the money.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then that way he's gone for good, because he doesn't do anything but panic so that she can say stuff to the robbers, and she can just say that out loud as fairy tale characters tend to do.
The robbers will not care.
No. They will not notice.
They will not think that suspect.
And then it becomes the fight between this single, independently wealthy knife woman and these seven thicket men. And then the king makes her his advisor at the end.
It's like an inverse of Snow White.
Sure, yeah.
Where a woman has to battle seven tiny men.
Yes.
There you go.
Trying to rob her.
There you go.
I want to say my favorite visual from this is her hearing them say, "It's a ghost," and being like, "Hell yeah, it is." And just like shaking her veil going, "Woo!"
Good call. My final question.
All right.
Is Cherry Man versus a big rock the definition of an unstoppable force and an immovable object?
Cherry Man would win.
Against a big rock?
I think so.
Gordy? I think that's a wash.
How big a rock and how is it being used?
The moon.
The moon?
Yeah.
Cherry Man could beat the moon.
In Majora's Mask.
Okay. If I had to bet, I would bet on Cherry Man. Or Corn Man. Or Gun Man.
Whoever he happens to be.
Or whatever he is today.
I mean, Cherry Man is his title, but it is not the limit of his powers.
Can I ask a question about Cherry Man?
Sure.
Is he always a man?
I think not.
I am getting the impression that he is extremely fluid.
in all things.
In like, kind of just sort of his like personal appearance and his identity.
I think Cherry Man
very, very fluid.
I think that Cherry Man is a man in the way that Hugh is a man.
Hugh?
Yeah.
Who is Hugh?
Hugh Man.
Hugh Man?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Meaning what?
It's its own entity. It's its own classification of hominid.
It's, yeah.
Okay.
Cherry Man is an easy name to give to this being.
Okay,
but it is
yes.
not the limitation of this being.
Okay.
It is how he was revealed to us, so that will be his name.
Right.
But
we're saying there are...
He was the jam-selling woman in The Brave Little Taylor.
Yeah, he, she, they, etc. Like, could be anywhere on the spectrum.
Or all of places
or,
at once.
Or the whole spectrum.
I mean, it is a being beyond our comprehension.
Right.
Yes.
We found out new things Cherry Man could do tonight.
Yes. And I think, in a way, I mean, what are corn and cherries and rice but vegetable genders?
For the listeners, Gordy made his own eyes close that time.
It didn't feel good leaving my head. But the observation had to be articulated.
Sure.
So thank you, Jenna, beloved nuisance of the show, for giving us this glorious gem of a story.
Thanks, Jenna.
Thank you, Jenna. Man, Jenna's 2 for 2 on Cherry Man.
Is that true?
Yeah, I believe she suggested the story for Cherry Man's inception.
Jenna, what are you trying to teach us?
Jenna knew of the Cherry Man.
Let us in.
Thank you to all of our patrons for keeping our lives interesting.
Thank you, patrons.
Thank you, patrons. Thank you to people who have been tweeting about the show. That helps us a lot. You can use our hashtag WTFolklore to tweet about us. It'd be great if you would share the show with somebody. Just pick your favorite episode. Make them listen to that one. Thank you to people who have been tweeting about us, like at Sarah Lisa on Twitter. And... Cube Wish Spirit is your name on the Discord. Thank you for promoting us as the best science podcast. That's the other hashtag you should use.
We'll get it.
Thank you to our top tier patrons, Dominic, Droop Snoot, Grace Daughter Wimbus, Haley, Heather, Jen, Jenna, Jeremiah, Justin, Lily, Liz, Maya, Marzi, Monkey Criminal, My Name is Gordy and I Have a Nice Butt, Pyrus, Robert, Sarah, Tally, the Day Dude, and Tim reminds us to all take a moment of silence for Goat, please.
Who did this?
Do you deny that you have a nice butt?
I have no comments on the subject.
I have heard Vandy wax poetical about it.
I'm hearing a lot of talking.
Well, a lot of buzz on the street.
No, Tyler's upset because we're not silence momenting for goat.
That's better.
Okay. So thank you, top tier patrons.
Thank you, top tier patrons.
Thank you, patrons.
And thank you always, Doug.
Thanks, Doug. Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, the Neon.
Thank you, the Neon.
Thank you, Yonder Toad.
Thank you, Yonder Toad. Wimbus.
Thank you, Wimbus.
Thank you, Wimbus.
Thank you, Mother Wimbus's favorite son, Jeremiah.
Thank you,
Mother Wimbus's favorite son, Jeremiah.
Thank you, Thicket Thieves.
Thank you, Thicket Thieves.
Thank you, Big Rock.
Thank you, Big Rock.
Thank you, Cherry Man.
Thank you, Cherry Man.
Thank you, Justice System.
Thank you, Justice System.
Tyler can't thank the Justice System because he's all crime.
Yeah, it would. I would poof into dust.
We're What the Folklore. That's how it works.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have story suggestions for us, please send them to wtfolklore@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales. If you enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.